Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. A. L. Hayde, Tim Ledsam, Kay, Candria Sanchez, Rock, Julie Saunders, Nate Cleveland, Rhys Lawton, Sam Gregg, Ash Pyle, Martin Orchard, Cheryl Peterson, Kristen Bonner, Zach Clark, Mark Elliott, Anna O'Rourke, Erin Dombrowski, Jay Fernandez, Matt Landau, David Minch Dixon. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
And welcome to episode 55 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McGovigan.
Hammond, the eternal font of sadness.
Sasha, the stabby in the dark.
Zolf, shut up, Dad! Smith.
In fairness to Zolf, you are having just...
You're having a hard time.
Just the
it's
worst
been a bit of a rubbish
time.
Week, 2 weeks.
Like, it's...
Month. We have really not dealt with the leg loss.
It turns out, right, all of this campaign is just a metaphor for starting a small business and all of the horribleness that's associated with that. That's all it is.
So is it particularly cathartic for you, Alex?
Me? No. Shut up, Dad! So, picking up where we left off, last things that happened in this season, obviously Paris is starting to go a bit...
Rioting.
Wrong.
I mean, it's Paris. They love rioting.
It's all going a bit bad. And where we left off, Zolf was having a genuine breakdown in his room.
Yeah, it was.
Hamid is totally lacking the skills to deal with this situation. Sasha is out trying to help people with random acts of kindness, I suppose.
Yeah, random acts of jumping down on top of a mugger.
Yep.
And not killing anyone.
Wow.
But
Batmaning.
Very, but, very big of you,
yeah,
Sasha.
Yeah, but knocking a lot of people out. So statistically, killing some
yeah.
of them. As Archer would say, you kicked 7 people in the chest, one of them's going to have a heart attack. Yeah. She's not actively really hurting people, just like getting people out of the way, grabbing babies out of burning buildings.
All that kind of, all that good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I could roll and she does a 20. She could genuinely save a child from a burning building and all of her problems will be over because she'll feel so good about that.
Bertie, I presume, on the other hand.
Bertie is doing a lot like Sasha's and is getting a lot of Batman in the sense, but more so because he's rich.
Incredibly privileged to not doing anything to help.
Not doing anything to help, really. He's just indulging his own trauma.
Has he just found someone in a costume to beat up?
Pretty much. Yeah, just somebody who's like mentally unstable.
Is he just do you want to be my ward? I need a ward.
Yeah,
will you
wards.
Be my ward? I need
yes.
a ward.
I shall call you Robin.
He's got a rather more Keynesian approach to finding crime. There's a certain amount of like going out in full plate armour, looking super glossy, walking down alleys and going like, oh, what am I going to do with all of these jewels? I'm feeling so clumsy. Smack of sword against large bin. Echo. Billow.
We will rejoin both of those characters soon. First,
find the
Zolt. You eventually drag yourself into bed, have a very, very poor time going to sleep, and eventually do so. You find yourself on the ocean and you are on the boat that you cross the channel in. It is a little bit choppy, it is not stormy, and there is nothing happening, but it's a very... This is a type of dream you are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
This is a type of dream where you feel like you're awake, but are very aware that you must be dreaming.
So it's a lucid.
It is completely lucid.
Right, what do you want then?
There's no response.
Brilliant. I sure hope this is in real time.
What feels like an enormous length of time.
Right, yeah, it's in real time.
Eventually, to your practiced eye, you see what appears to be an enormous storm forming on the horizon. It is potent. It's a shipwrecker. You've seen that type before.
Mm-hmm.
Time begins to accelerate, almost time lapse in its scale.
Sure, yeah.
In that you are watching a cyclone basically build, but at the very edge of your vision. It is growing and it is growing and it is growing. It's drawing nearer very slowly, and then it suddenly comes right up to where you are. It's a very unnatural storm in that it looks like someone's taken a storm and cut it in half. Yep. All of the front is piled up, towering into the sky above you, but you are in calm waters. 100 feet away from you is the choppiest cyclone you can imagine. There's a few water spouts kicking around.
Right, okay, what? Are you angry? Usually are. What do you want?
Eventually, you start seeing a figure walking towards you over the choppy waves. They're walking on the water.
Oh my god, it's Jesus!
Yeah. Hey, Zolf, have you heard?
Oh, sorry, it's Buddy Christ.
This is quite the cameo, isn't it?
I'm impressed Alex managed to book him.
So, it's a humanoid figure, and at this distance it looks normal size. The figure approaches, and as the sort of curtain of rain and storm passes, you see him step out into the calm. It is a figure that has little in the way of a face. It is, again, to your eye, it's like someone has taken the water from the very deepest parts of the ocean you've ever seen and plonked it in front of you in a humanoid shape. It does not look like a person. It has arms-ish, it has legs-ish, and it's walking-ish, but it is a deep, deep, murky black. You get a very intense vibe, not an evil vibe, but a very intense vibe. It's like you're looking at that huge storm and you've squeezed it into a tiny little space.
Yeah.
And it walks towards the boat and then stands off the boat and faces you. It's super intense.
Yeah, I mean,
give me a will save.
I was going to say, I'm pretty shaken by that because that's some spooky magic. Oh dear. 15.
Oh, wait, hang on a minute. I've got stuff.
If you can make it higher than 15, it matters.
I've got a plus 2 bonus save to emotion spell effects. That's not a spell, is it?
I will count it.
So 17 then.
You are on the exact border of what you can handle before it just overwhelms you in sheer fear. And it's just stood there and it is staring at you completely impassively.
Okay. What? Consider me frightened. You're a god. Yes, very powerful. What? Why am I here? What are you doing?
It reaches its hand out. And then suddenly, all at once, shoots up from the water a tripod, and it shoots into its hand. It holds it, and then throws it onto the boat, and it clatters at your feet.
Brilliant, I've got that back. What do you want? What am I gonna do? Nothing I've done has helped. I'm not good at this. I don't know what I'm doing.
It steps onto the boat, which has a sort of, it's only small, so it's, it
I'm
can...
I'm going to scramble back yeah. from it.
As it steps onto the boat, it disintegrates. It falls apart. You plunge into the water. It is not choppy water, it is just normal. The storm is still raging. It walks over to you on the water and looks down at you as you are struggling to tread water. You realise that up to this point, you hadn't noticed. You had your legs in the stream. Now you don't. Now you're struggling to swim. As you're missing bits that you've been used to swimming with, mm-hmm. and you realise that your arm, which didn't have ports, now does have the ports, and it's not moving anymore, and you're starting to struggle to float. The trident is floating next to you. The creature stands above you impassively and looks at you, and looks to the trident and looks back.
I am not going to be intimidated by, or strong-armed, or blackmailed. Even if it is a god. So I'm just going to stop swimming and let myself sink below the waves, trying to keep eye contact as much as I can because it's terrifying.
You're staring
down at god!
Alpha as.
Yeah.
Wow. Just trying to. Trying to. I'm not going to be blackmailed into believing in a god.
Is he blackmailing you though, or is he just. What he's giving you really is just heavy handed symbolism? Is that,
well, I don't know. It feels like intimidation
Sorry,
to me.
Just yeah. symbolism. Is that what he's on?
No, no, you're okay. Poseidon's not a subtle god.
No.
Yeah. You're fine.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, he might be trying to lend you a hand. But
maybe.
It's more like a pat on the back, really.
Mm.
Hey, look.
So,
you're important.
You sink beneath the waves. The last thing you see is their face staring impassively at you as you sink, and you sink into the darkness, and you wake up. It's the next morning.
Is there like, I'm assuming there's like a crystal decanter of water?
Yes, there is.
I will grab the crystal decanter
mm-hmm.
and throw it as hard as I can against the window.
Okay.
In just an outpouring of...
It smashes through the window rather than decanter breaking, and it just tumbles out into
street.
Is there a shout of someone? Oi! You squashed a baby!
Not again!
My ward!
There is not.
Ah.
Everyone, apart from Zolf, give me a perception check.
So this is the morning and we're all back in.
Yep, I'm handling it.
Okay.
Four.
Back on four.
22. Sasha, as you are entering back into the hotel room, you hear a shattering coming from Zolf's room. Hamid, you are woken up by it. It's surprising you could hear it over the sound of Bertie snoring in his room.
Has Hamid fallen asleep against the door?
Yes.
Amazing. Oh, because he loves you. Oh, 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 oh.
Sasha.
Yep.
You are now fatigued, having been up all night.
What does that mean?
You're minus two to all rolls until you sleep.
However,
minus one.
Your night went actually really well. Ooh. I rolled for this. It went very, very well. You genuinely feel like you made a difference out there.
I caught a decanter that was about to fall out.
Most
higher reflexes.
Most of the things that you have dealt with, though, were acts of desperation, and you weren't really rescuing from any bad guys. It was mostly just, you know, two people are doing it. You take out both of them and then go, stop it! And they do, and they leave. It was lots of breaking up fights rather than actually, like, huge heroics. But there were multiple cases where there were vulnerable people who would have been caught in that crossfire. You feel like you've done good, but you're knackered. It was just all night. You're still asleep, Bertie, so you don't get to know how it
went. How was Bertie's night?
You don't get to know till you wake up.
Oh, okay.
So, this is the situation you have come into. Hamid is flustered at the door to Zolf.
I rush into Zolf's room wearing the same clothes I was wearing yesterday. They are crumpled, and eyeliner is still streaked down my face.
Is it not
I'm
locked?
Sorry, but sympathy is 100% to Zolf. Your slight mucking up of makeup is very low on the pity.
And have you prestidigitated your makeup to look perfect in brief?
It's no!
Very, it's very déshabillé.
And also, is the door locked? Can you
rush in? No. I just slammed it and went to sleep.
So you both... well, Hamid rushes in, you said.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of stare at you and just lie back down and put the covers over my head. Just like, no!
What? Are you...
I'm fine!
Well, right. No, but I'm glad... Okay.
Right. I'm going to go to bed and we'll lie down on the bed in her room, in her clothes.
Give me a will save.
Trying to be so exhausted that she will fall asleep.
Give me a will save.
20!
Natural 20.
You sleep. Ah. And you finally sleep. You haven't actually properly slept in about 3 days. Mm. You actually sleep. You are the sleep of the dead. You are completely comatose asleep. Do you have anything you particularly want to do, Hamid?
Oh, yeah.
In the morning.
I'm just going to sit down next to Zolf's bed as he's hiding under the covers. Zolf, I don't think I ever told you why I wanted to become an adventurer.
I'm not in the mood for this. Not everything can be fixed by the heart-to-heart, you know. Just go chat to Sasha or Bertie or something. Just leave me alone.
You need to hear this, Zolf. I know you don't want to, but you need to.
Why? Why? Is it because, I don't know, a heroic dwarf saved your life, or you saw a poster of me and it's all very inspirational? Like, it's not how the real world works. It might be for you. You just leave me alone.
No, it's not, Zolf. I made mistakes. I did things. People got hurt. Stuff I regret. I'm trying to make up for them. And we've made mistakes since we started working together. I know that. I know you feel like the things we're doing aren't good enough. And I know, you know, I feel the same. And I've failed and I've got hurt and I've got other people hurt. And I haven't helped when I've wanted to help. But that doesn't mean we should stop trying. We're just people. We're all people and we're not perfect. It doesn't matter if we make mistakes. What matters is that we don't give up. Is that we keep trying to do good. Is that we keep trying to help. That we make up for the mistakes. We don't let the mistakes become all we are. We don't let the mistake be the final thing, the final word on us. We don't let the mistake be the only thing we ever contributed to this world. Shutting off that computer was not a mistake. It's led to some consequences, some horrible consequences. But that doesn't mean it was wrong. And the thing that would be wrong is giving up on that decision, is letting that be the last thing we do. If we go out there, if we keep helping, then that's what matters.
Are you finished?
Snoring sounds from both the other
men. Yeah, oh yeah, there's nothing from anyone else.
Or some solid pathetic fallacy from the world here.
I'm going to accelerate time at this point. The day wears on. Bertie, with no one to wake him up, and having been up slightly late, sleeps through the day. Sasha sleeps through the day, having been up all night trying to help people. Zolf sulks through the day. Well, I say sulk, this is perfectly legitimate and justified, and that was incredibly unfair of me. Hamid, what do? You have an entire day where no one is available to do anything. What do you do?
I clean myself up, get myself dressed, have a very small breakfast.
Funny you say that. There is no food.
Okay. I'm going to head outside and I'm going to try and do what I've just said we should do, which is what I now realise is what Sasha was doing.
Okay.
And she's helping people, and I'm going to try and help people. And I'm going to do it in a very different way.
How are you going to be doing it?
I'm going to mediate. I'm going to reassure. I'm going to comfort people. Mm-hmm. I'm going to persuade other people to help each other. The first thing I'm going to do is probably go down and say, every bit of food in this hotel, every bit of food you have left, send it out onto the streets.
Role play with me. Okay. So you come down, the concierge is there. He is talking to a member of staff very, very heatedly, and a member of staff, as you are coming down, sees you, snorts, and walks out. The gargoyles part for them, they leave. So there's just the concierge at the desk. He sees you, straightens himself up, kind of composes himself. I'm very sorry, sir. Is there a problem? What can I do for you?
There's nothing to apologise for. You're very low on food. There isn't much left, is there?
I'm so sorry, sir.
No.
We've been having
I didn't ask you to bring me food. I asked you a simple question about the state of the kitchens.
We've actually been bringing in a wizard to supply the fresh food, as all of the perishables have already expired. And
then stop. We need to be out there helping. You need to be helping. Any food you've got left, start giving it away. On the street, outside.
I can't really do that, sir. There's not really that much to give. One of the staff members stole what was left.
It doesn't matter how much there is, anything that is left. Anything at all.
He looks around, takes a moment, reaches over, and very, very apologetically passes you the bowl of peanuts and drops it in front of you. Like, there is a bowl of nuts behind the counter. He puts it in front of you and goes, I'm afraid that's about it, sir. Again, we've been using a wizard, but he didn't turn up today. We haven't heard why, but it's not too hard to guess.
Yes. Where's your family?
No family for me, sir.
Who are your friends?
My job is my life.
Don't spend this time serving us. Go out there and help everyone. This city is falling apart, and everyone needs to be doing everything they can to put it back together.
Well, sir, I suppose...
We're not worth it. Don't serve us.
If Bertie could hear this, he would be so angry. Yes. So angry.
Sash would feel that it's a bit like martyrish.
Well, it's very Hamid.
Yeah.
It's very Hamid. Mm. Well, if you'll...
Yeah, perfect.
If you'll forgive me, sir, and you'll pardon my forthrightness, well, I can't help everyone, but I suppose I can look after this place. Better one small piece of calm than none.
I suppose that's fair.
Are you heading out?
Yes.
Well, look after yourself, sir. He gestures the gargoyles part for you. You head out. And I think we'll take a break there and be back in a couple of minutes.
Hey. You. Yeah, no. You with a face. Yeah. I know I shouldn't be here, but got in like a wet ferret slipping through the hands of a moisturiser salesman. You know me. I just needed to let you know about this deal, right? You head over to rustyquill.com and follow the links to the store, or go on redbubble.com and search for us. I've been appraising this stuff, and it is good. There's all sorts of stuff in there. You want Brutor's face on a mug? You got it. You want Hamid's face on the wall? It's there. You want Bertie's face? Why? Yeah, well, I gotta go now, but you just remember, right? Head over to rustyquill.com, follow the links. Tell them I sent you. Just, I just wondered, though, are you gonna eat all that eel quiche?
And welcome back. Bertie, you wake up. It is about 10 p.m. at night. The apartment is dark.
What?
No one seems to be in, as far as you can tell.
Good morning.
And, give me a perception check.
4.
Classic Bertie.
Everything is fine.
Oh, well, that's a relief. Excellent. Bertie, reflect back on the previous night's activities, which you're going to talk about because you rolled.
Yes, I did.
So I don't know.
You were very successful in your goal. The entire time, you managed to find one person who looked like they were eyeing up their chances to mug someone and beat them senseless. A lot of people were very, very encouraging of this. It's almost like a certain bloodthirstiness has come into the streets, which you're quite comfortable with. If anything, it was like when you were beating up this very short mugger that the crowd were calling you to carry on doing it. But honestly, it started to feel a bit tasteless, really. So you just sort of...
He got bored.
...left him there and loudly declared your name to the crowd and...
Sir Burton McGuffigan, scourge of crime!
And then you kind of headed back, because, I mean, you'd done it, really.
I've solved crime.
It took you about 3 hours to find a crime as it was, so... Yeah.
Any more crimes? More crimes? Anyone? Crimes! Clank, 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 clank. I'm out to play! Come on! Anyone?
There were none.
No
and
crimes.
You have gone home, slept the sleep of someone, and have had no food and wake up hungry to an empty apartment.
I do have some fortified iron rations remaining from Cyprus.
Okay.
So I have a nibble.
It's thoroughly bland and unenjoyable.
This is tasteless.
Do you have any plans for the rest of this day? Well,
it's 10 o'clock, so do I realise it's that time on a perception roll of 4?
You do.
Okay.
Because the apartment's dark. All right. And it's night out.
In fact, just woken up very quickly, though.
God, that was a surprisingly refreshing catnap.
No, because now it's raining. In fact, it's raining quite a lot.
The city sleeps. Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, enemy of the criminal mind. Protector of the weak and the innocent.
Hamid, you come in the door.
As this monologue is happening.
You are extremely wet. Let's see how you did.
The criminal has a natural fear, being a superstitious sort.
Hamid enters.
I shall be the Falcon Man.
Hamid enters. You are wet and dispirited.
Maybe I can wear my underpants.
You were working very hard to try and mediate things, but frankly no one was listening. You didn't make things worse, but the only people that you did manage to meet, equal parts, were fleeing. Beating things, mostly inanimate objects. There was a decent amount of looting. The best effect that you managed to do is a couple of stores didn't get looted, because when you tried to talk them out of it, they ended up just leaving, thinking that you were some kind of magical police enforcement or something similar. You have just come into Bertie standing surveying Paris.
Majestically armed, stride. When they need me, they shall make the Falcon signal.
Do you have anything to say?
Gosh, I look majestic right now.
No.
I am going to speed time ahead yet more.
Yep. Sasha goes out again.
Do you go out all night?
Yep.
Okay.
Bertie also goes out fighting crime in a very similar way to last night.
Second roll. Okay. So, Zolf, you find yourself back on the open ocean. You find yourself back on the boat.
Yeah.
The entire same dream plays itself out. The humanoid figure is there. He steps up. This time he doesn't pass you the trident. He's holding it. As he steps towards you from that cyclone, every step he takes, he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Till eventually he's bigger than the cyclone. He's an enormous, godly figure striding the landscape. He kneels down onto one knee, puts his face towards yours, and then reaches his hand out, and there's a weird warping of perception. So the hand that's reaching out is actually normal human sized. As you're looking down at it, you look back up, and the figure has suddenly gone from that huge towering figure to something human. You are there without your legs, and it is offering you a hand to pick you up.
Do you want to talk? I don't know what happens if I grab your hand. I don't know if I can agree to anything right now. I don't... If you're looking for some kind of holy crusader to spread the word, you're looking at the wrong dwarf. I don't know if I can do this anymore. You know how much I screwed up before. The only thing that redeemed me was trying to help my friend, but that was just because I got them into a mess. That wasn't noble. That was just guilt. Right. Fine. Just going to keep doing this, aren't I? So I'll grab a hand.
You awake to a searing pain at the stumps of both of your legs. Hamid, give me a perception check. The both of you are currently out.
All right.
16.
You awake to Zolf screaming in his bed and thrashing under the covers.
Oh, rushing.
Zolf is covered in covers and thrashing manically. You see that the sink in his room is overflowing. The ground all around the bed is sodden. There is water pouring into the room from that sink. It looks like he has been deliberately flooding the room or something.
I'm going to try and pull the cover off him.
You manage to do so.
Just to give him a bit more freedom. Chuck it towards the door.
Zolf, you awake to Hamid over you. Your legs no longer hurt. But you have only just this second, you've been waking up going, oh my god, absolute agony. Instantly stopped.
Hamid grabs your hand. Zolf, I'm here.
Right.
What's wrong?
You look down. The plug, the sockets for your legs, you see, are basically, one is on the end of the bed, the other one is buried in the wall at the far end of the bed. Mm-hmm. Where the bottom half of your legs should be, you see a pair of legs. Briny almost, made of water.
They're sea legs.
He's got sea legs!
That have, basically, as you're watching, the water from the sink flows up and finishes forming the legs at the base of your legs. You have the bizarre ability to see the stumps that were there, and they're in a ragged shape from whatever those sockets were, but the water seamlessly makes a seal at the stumps and goes into two fully formed legs, both of them. Made of water.
So weird. Body horror.
Hamid, give me a perception check.
Natural one.
Carry on.
This isn't what I agreed to. This isn't what I want. What are you doing?
I look nonplussed.
Mechanically nonplussed. I have the trait nonplussed.
What do you want? Brilliant. What is this? I don't know what you want.
So I don't say anything. I just give Zolf a hug.
I'm going to accelerate time to the following day after everyone wakes up. It's late afternoon. Everyone give me a perception check. Everyone give me a perception check.
15.
23.
20.
20.
Very impressive. All of you have heard, as some of you were sleeping, waking up and sleeping again and so on, the distinct sounds of what sounds like a war zone developing outside. And very, very distant, but over the course of the day drawing nearer, there are the distinct sounds of combat of some kind, lots of cries, lots of yells. Eventually, a stone comes in through a window on the balcony and lands in the sort of hallway of the apartment. That is what wakes you all up.
Well, gentlemen and lady, it would appear that Paris has fallen once again into disorder. It becomes one man's duty to spread law and order where there is chaos. That man is Falconman. Yes, I, Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, shall stride out manfully into the streets and resolve this crisis in Paris himself. You are, of course, welcome to join me. Also, I'm hungry. We haven't had room service for days. I'm starving. Let us literally go out and steal some food.
I think everyone's starving, Bertie. I agree we should go out there and try and calm everything down. That would require us to stay calm as well, though.
Has anyone checked on Zolf?
He's still there.
Zolf, we're heading out for food and saving the world. You want to come?
Yeah, I'll open the door and walk out.
Oh! Whoa! Oh! What? What?
Oh! Oh! Wait, how tall is he? How long are the legs?
4'3".
All right.
I mean, it's still dwarf legs.
For what it is, they're good-looking legs. Very shapely calves.
You know, there's something different about you, Mr. Smith. Yeah. Can't quite put my finger on it. Oh, yes, you've got legs made of fiddlesticking water.
Yeah.
What the sugar is up with that?
Why have you done?
What the sugaring fiddlestick? What the mother fiddlestickering sugar?
Do they leave wet footprints?
No, they don't.
Rah! She runs behind him. He's like, they don't leave wet footprints!
What you
Bertie
do see...
Bertie just pokes him in the thigh. Does his finger go in?
Yes.
Ooh!
Ooh, it's laminar flow legs.
And Bertie just passes his hand through it. Like, ooh,
you successfully do
this
so.
This is really very soothing.
The water passes, and then it takes a weird moment to readjust itself. But yeah, you can pass your hands through.
Hand going through water. Look, yeah. Look, what's this hand? It's an impression. This is Moses. Look. Ooh.
Bertie, that's kind of intimate. That's someone's... legs?
Should I buy the white wine spritzer first? Is that what you're getting
at? You can't just grope people like that, even if they are made of water.
Proper fancy, that is. Cool.
You had magic legs.
For audio listeners, by the way, the filthiest look I've ever seen Ben Hold as a character in my life at 30. Oh my god.
I only came out because I haven't eaten in 3 days and we should probably go get some food.
Yeah, we should, and get some, maybe, yes, and maybe some high boots.
No, I don't know what this is, and I don't know what kind of trick Poseidon thinks he's playing. I don't know what this is supposed to mean. Just, oh, look, you get some free legs.
Well, the rest of us have got free legs, so, you know, I didn't pay for mine, so to be fair, it's not like you're getting any bonuses, Zolf, unless, do they do magic stuff?
Don't know and I don't care. This is not what...
I wonder what I could get if I dedicated myself religiously.
Poseidon still has faith in you, Zol.
Well, maybe I don't have faith in Poseidon. Maybe...
He seems to be demonstrating his...
No!
Oh, faith in him as in, like, you think he's a good god.
I don't know why we've done stupid dreams and symbolism and rubbish like that and not anything just... Oh, I just want to have a conversation.
Fine, let's have a conversation now.
Not with you.
Now, Poseidon's place, great faith in you, blah, blah, blah.
Anyone but you.
Strike me that this is really very heavy-handed.
Why don't we go and get some food?
Yeah, Sasha, she's been spending all this time out and she's got local knowledge. Would she know where there are places?
Give me a knowledge local.
Yep, knowledge local, check. Ooh, 13.
No. Aww. All of the places that you are aware of are either sort of spent for food or are currently sort of in a lockdown for some reason. As in, yeah, you could probably rob the police station because they probably have a reserve of food, but that'd probably be a really rubbish idea.
A heist for a sandwich!
Yeah, all right, well, we might need to leave Paris to get some food. It's been remarkable, really. Within 4 days, the food supply has broken down. What a telling thing of modern civilization.
Well, one thought occurs. Is it necessary to leave Paris to acquire food? Can we not fight evil and find lunch at the same time? Who stalks Paris? Like a scourge of evil that Falcon Man and his brave assistants must defeat. What does the name Le Gourmand mean to you?
It means a gangster.
With massive amounts of food.
Right.
Le Gourmand, tasty things.
I think maybe one place, if you want to see what's going down, is to go towards that area of town. But we don't know a way around, Bertie. We don't know where the gangs hang out, so not really that easier thing to do. How about we just head out and then, you know, to buy some boots and to and ask around. We got money. We can find some food.
You can all hear what's outside.
Just there is still the distinct sounds of combat in the distance. It's not on your street.
That simple.
I can get out and I'll look for food. Don't worry.
Well, we should go out together.
Yes, I agree.
If anything, Sasha looks nervous at that proposition.
Onwards, a noble quest for dinner.
Yeah, if you two, pointing at Sasha and Bertie, want to go down, I just need to chat to Hamid. Alone, please.
Alright. I will go with Bertie, you say. Okay. She just walks out and just doesn't give him any time to keep up with her.
young lady, you're going slightly too quickly. One moment. Hang on. I'd be stealthy as well, you know.
Dad disappears into the distance. Just Zulf and Hamid in the increasingly shabby looking presidential apartment, which has had no service now for a few days.
Sorry for dismissing your...
You don't need to apologise to me, Zul.
Yeah, just...
But thank you.
I appreciate you being honest, but, you know, just a pep talk is... This is not the kind of situation that can be solved by that. But I appreciate that you also have things that you need to work through yourself. Just been spending far too long trying to hold things together.
You've done a lot.
Yeah, well.
And maybe you don't want to hear my opinion, but I think you've been given those legs by Poseidon because he wants you to have the choice about what to do next.
Yeah, well.
He's not deciding for you, but now you can choose whatever you think is right.
I just don't feel like I deserve them. I don't know why I have them. I don't know why he's given them to me. Just don't know.
Maybe it doesn't mean anything to you, but I think you deserve them, Zulf, and I think anyone except yourself would say the same if they knew everything you'd done.
Well, that's appreciated.
Shall we go?
Yeah, let's go. Before we start crying or something stupid.
We cut to...
Hammond tries really hard not to cry!
Prestidigitation on his own face.
Yeah. Just hankies really quickly.
I'm
just holding his sleeves up to his face and the handkerchiefs come flying out.
We will cut to Sasha, you having gone down the stairs and coming out at the bottom of the stairs with Bertie still clanking and talking to himself in the stairwell. Give me a perception check.
20. Natural 20.
Nice. You see the concierge is stood at the door talking with someone on the far side who you recognise. He's on the far side of the gargoyle as the concierge is sort of calling down the steps. It is Oscar Wilde and he looks irritated because every time he keeps trying to push past the gargoyles and then a 8 foot, you know, ish tall gargoyle quietly and gently just goes and pushes him so hard back into the street he ends up on his arse.
Sasha will slip through the gargoyles who part for her, I assume, as before, and say, "All right, Oscar. What have you got for us this time?
He stands,
I hope it includes dinner."
He stands, straightens his
hair
very, very carefully, straightens his jacket.
No, you were fine as you were before.
Raises an eyebrow, comes up and goes, "Where are the rest, Sasha?"
They're deciding what they want to do today.
What are you yelling as you come out of the stairwell as he asks that question?
Oh, well, Bertie is still, he's checked the concierge desk whether his post has arrived.
Post has arrived.
No post. You know, the Royal Mail has really gone downhill since the development of constitutional monarchy. I can't help but feel that a dose of absolutism had really put the fire back into them.
Okay, so we've got...
You!
Hello, Bertie. How are you?
Furious, how are you?
You do look good angry.
Bertie tries and falls like a sort of smile on it just to kind of like spoil...
It doesn't work. You kind of come out looking like a vague grimace, which I can only do for the people at this table, which is a sort of...
Bertie looks furiously constipated.
Hamid and Zulf, you make it down the stairs.
Yeah.
And Zulf, you make it down the stairs for a start. Oscar looks at you.
Don't say anything.
Raises an eyebrow.
Don't. What Sasha, do you want?
I wouldn't, mate. Ask her one.
Fair enough. I don't know about you. I think it's time to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's being done to help Paris?
Walk with me. He turns around and starts walking.
I'm going to stare daggers at the back. Sure that that was some kind of word.
Do you follow?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so he's walking down the street that you are on. It's getting a very post-apocalyptic vibe by this point.
Wait. Sasha really enjoys like gesturing to them to let Hammond and Zolf.
Oh yeah, they have to be gestured as well.
And then, like, as Bertie slams, Bertie tries to walk through as well and slams into.
Well,
them.
What does Bertie
this is
do?
Very convincing.
I just
how they do it.
Just give it.
Steady on there, now, chaps. I do need to get through. Nothing.
Just pauses enough to begin giggling and then says, good luck pigeon catching, mates.
So what, Sasha?
Yeah. It was good times.
Yeah, so what?
I've fun with the standing.
Yes.
Looks like a nice change of perspective.
Looks up. Mm-hmm. Looks down. Mm-hmm. Looks to Sasha. Mm-hmm. Shrugs its shoulders.
Well, have a good one. Hope I'll see you again, mate.
So, heading with Wilde. Wilde's body language is very different from normal.
Is it quite serious for once?
You know what? It's guarded. Mm. As he's walking down the middle of the street, there is no traffic. There are a number of those upturned carriages. A couple of them look like they've been set on fire. Every mechanical man that you see has either been pushed over, which, by the way, will have taken an enormous amount of force. They are heavy. Or has been vandalised in some way, had stuff drawn on them, had them...
These street corners getting really sloppy.
As Wilde's walking down...
The market's been flooded. There's too many of them.
Also, the market over there is flooded.
Nice. A few of the shop fronts have obviously been looted at some point. A few of them have been, you know, taken out. A few railings have been torn out. It looks like people have gone to town. Everyone
can
give me a perception.
One can say it's gone
insane. Oh, no.
Oh, it's a, the river joke. It's a river
joke. Yeah.
Oh. Come on, yeah, yeah. Really? That's so
good. The river in Paris is called the Seine.
Yeah.
Insane. Yeah. Come on,
oh,
guys.
You know, the best jokes are the ones you have to explain.
Yeah. I always think so.
Yeah. Everyone give me a perception check.
To see whether we get that. 8.
13.
20.
16. Sasha.
Yeah.
You spot a pattern in all of the ones that have been torn out. Mm. Almost every single building that has been looted stored food, or stocked food, mm. or provided food, a food cellar, a restaurant, whatever. Not all of them, but to your practiced eye, all of the ones that were done properly, mm. all of the ones that were done in a organised, professional way, all of them that were hit,
yep.
held food. Everything that was kind of amateurish, anything that had someone just taking a jab was valuables.
Yeah, because it would have already occurred to her having lived in places where there were breakdowns in infrastructure that it was quite strange for a whole city to be completely empty of food within just about 2 or 3 days.
And to your eye, every place that had food. I don't just mean sort of like most, like literally every single one that could have conceivably held food has been hit.
Right, so... I mean, it's a bit fitting, really. Almost too neat. But I think that Lagomond might be controlling Paris by its food. Someone better than me would be able to make a better pun.
Why?
Lagomond has taken over all the food.
Wilde's kind of absent-mindedly, almost like his heart's not in it, just goes, yeah, he's trying to get a better bite of the apple, and he just carries on walking. It was weak.
Yeah.
Even for a while, that was weak. And he's just examining all of the street corners.
Well,
and he's
Bertie's
making a
right.
point of sticking to the middle of the road.
Well, then Bertie's right. We should go after Le Gourmand. We can't leave Paris in this state. If he's controlling the food, we go after him. We take him down and we make sure the food gets distributed properly.
Again, whilst walking, Wilde. Le Gourmand's not your problem.
Lunch is my problem.
We've got bigger problems than Le Gourmand right now.
Yes, my tummy. It is rumbling. Listen, I my fancy is some foie gras. Now, I think it tastes better when it's produced more cruelly.
Who Who is dealing with the La Gourmand problem? And what is the bigger problem? You've got to tell us stuff if you ask us to walk with you.
He turns around and actually has a frown on his face. You all have a job that's more important than this right now, okay? We need to get you to Prague. We need to get you to Prague now.
Why?
Why? Because someone's making an opportunistic bid here, but not just here. There's other things going on. And right now, what do you think would be worse than anything coming out right now? He's carrying on walking.
Well, like some sort of broth, perhaps. I mean, it's just not substantial enough.
Let me break it down, Bertie. Okay, you ready? The kitchen's on fire.
Ah!
He's really struggling to simplify it enough for Bertie. Like, you can see him actively straining. A bunch of soldiers turn up and offer to put out the fire for you. Mm-hmm. All they ask is that you, you know, pay them. You'd pay them, right? How much would you pay them?
Some pounds.
You know what, Mr. Wilde? I'm sure the situation in Prague is very urgent, and we should probably go there as soon as possible. But we are responsible for what has happened to the people of Paris, and we will be the ones to help deal with it. Good day. Gentlemen, Sasha? I start walking the other direction.
Hamid.
I follow Wilde.
Get back here.
Wilde turns around, and for the first time, all of you see him actually angry. It's a very uncharacteristic change in his face. He has a very severe frown. His features suddenly look significantly more angular. He turns, looks at Hamid, reaches out and clicks his fingers. Give me a will save.
17.
17. You are held in place. He walks over to you, starts walking over to you very, very slowly and calmly. You are like mid-walk, held perfectly stationary. He makes it up to you, leans into Hamid's ear, and says quietly so that only Hamid can hear, "The bigger things at play here, Hamid. We don't need to be at each other's throats, but we do need to leave now." He clicks his fingers again and you are unheld.
One of my hands spontaneously turns into a claw and grabs Oscar Wilde by the lapels, mm-hmm. and says, "I understand the gravity of the situation, Mr. Wilde. How about, for once in your life, you actually dispense
we
some information?"
"We don't have time for your guilt,
both of
Hamid.
You, stop arguing."
"If you would follow me, I will explain. Everyone give me a perception check."
Oh, critical fail.
If it's any consolation, this one's really important, so you are back on task.
17.
23.
26.
Everyone apart from Bertie.
Yeah. Yay!
4 figures step out from amongst the abandoned buildings. You are completely surrounded. And we'll close the episode there. It's all gotten a bit dark.
Mm.
It's all got a bit dark. Mm-hmm. But all going well? Any issues, problems?
Falcon Man feels like he needs a gritty reboot already.
I feel like Oscar Wilde could probably have solved this problem in one sentence. I'm sure there's a one sentence summary of what's going on in Prague.
But unfortunately, that never happened. So,
if there's any consolation for Falcon Man, he is neither the hero Paris needs
nor deserves. And on that note,
and on that note
bye
guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Reaches his hand out, and there's a weird warping of perception till the hand that's reaching out is actually normal human sized. You find yourself.
Tiny Trump hands.
<It's>...
crooked Lydia tells me my hands are tiny, but it's a lie. I have perfectly normal god hands. Sad.
These hands are the best hands. The water is the best water of all of the waters that could be.
How it my cult is best. My cult is amazing.
You guys have the best words.